Hello, hello. Congrats. All right. We've now been joined by our race winner in today's Cookout 400 here at Martinsville Speedway, and that is Denny Hamlin, driver of the number 11 Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. Denny, congratulations on that win. Obviously, knowing how much Martinsville has meant to you over the years, I'm sure it felt nice to be able to lead those laps and take home the victory here today. Sorry about the chair. Hang on. Yeah. It's all good.
10 seconds.
It's okay. Take your time. It's all good.
Certainly felt like the old days. I mean, just they did such a great job with the car, and we spoke about trying to do something a little different this time around to try to get better. We've just been kind of stuck in a rut, really, over the last 3 years or so. The fall of 22 is the last kind of dominant car I thought I had at this racetrack. And, so since then, just kind of been hanging around third to fifth, and, you know, we were always the next best behind the 12 and then, a couple Hendrick cars. And so we came with something different, just trying to get better and obviously turn back the clock.
All right. We will go ahead and take questions for Denny. If you have one, raise your hand. We're going to work to get a microphone to as many as we can. And we'll start up front with Jordan.
Yeah.
Jordan Bianchi, the F.
Gotta remember that. Y'all see Jared's face, by the way? He says the tires definitely wear. He's just got, it looks like he went to a dirt track. Shit all over his face.
Jordan Bianchi, the Athletic. You're 44. You're at an age when other drivers, you know who they are, they've stopped winning races. And I'm curious if over this last year or almost a year, you've thought maybe that another win wasn't going to come.
No. I probably am the king of irrational confidence, but generally speaking, I know that when I've got the car to do it, I can be the best. And so, I haven't felt like I've held back the car at any point. And certainly I'm not, immune to understanding that Father Time's undefeated. But I just, everything that I need to be good to be a race car driver is still really sharp. And so I feel like there's just, it hasn't happened yet. It will, but not yet.
In that same vein, when you win these races now, do you celebrate differently? Or do you think, I'm not going to have a lot of these opportunities left to be in victory lane, to have these moments with the family, the team, et cetera?
Yes. Yeah, that's a big one for sure. And certainly you learn to appreciate them a little bit more. When you're just in your 30s or something and you got such a long runway ahead of you, you're always thinking about, we'll go win next week too, and then week after that. But certainly, however many races I'm going to win between now and the end, I'm going to value them just a little bit more. From perspective, from wisdom that you have and understanding, the value of it, how hard it is to do. I don't always have my, kids here. So I think it's been a few years since they were in victory lane. So just it's having it all come back at this track, where it was 10 years ago, 55, where Rusty Wallace got his 55th. It just, I'll have time to let all that stuff digest, but it's in the moment, it's really awesome. He what? Well, I won't feel bad to break his 55 record when I do.
All right, now that Jordan's removed all the energy in the room, we will now go to Bob. Go ahead,
Bob.
How
old was he?
Go ahead, Bob.
What year was it?
2004. He was 47 years, 8 months, 4 days.
Wow, 47.
But he retired the next year.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Well, it's a long way away.
I don't think Rusty ever had a 2 against the world flag. You had an 11 against the world. Is that fun, or is there any part of that like motivation, or why? I mean, you already have enough going on. Why add to it?
Why not? Is the question. Why not? I mean, it's just that's me. I mean, go shoot hoops with me. Go play pickleball with me. Go play golf with me. If I can't shit talk, then it takes away my superpower. It really does. I'm not nearly as good. My friends, it drives them absolutely crazy. But to me, that part of it, it fuels me, and it just makes me feel good. That's it.
And some would say, off the track, it's 23-11 against the world. So I'm curious, does winning amid the lawsuit mean anything, and could it mean anything going forward, just having gotten the first one out of the way?
It really doesn't mean anything as far as, you know, the court stuff is concerned. I mean, all that stuff is handled off track, but it feels good, right? I mean, it feels good to, you know that, you know, you just, there's probably like 50 fans that are out there waiting for me to get done with this, right, that are going to stick this out, and, you know, maybe those are the only 50 in the stands that are rooting for me today, but it's like I do it because of them, and I do it because it fuels me from the inside, and I love, you know, when someone says I can't do it, going out there and doing it.
All right, we'll go to John Newby next.
John Newby, Savage Ventures. I know this is not the first time that you've raced against Bubba for the win, but I was curious, from your perspective as a driver owner, what is it like lining up on the front row as the leader and having him on your right restart after restart after restart and just seeing him come back and challenging you over and over?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, generally speaking, I didn't see that kind of speed out of the 23 or the 20 yesterday. And so I thought that I was, you know, and was for the most part kind of racing against, you know, the Hendrick cars, mostly the 9, and, you know, I was waiting on the 12 to kind of for him to show his face, and I think he got up towards the front. But, you know, it certainly, I feel like I know what they have, I know what I have, and if I have track position and I have my experience around this track, it was going to be extremely difficult for them to get around me at any point of that run, and I was able to just kind of do what I had to do, like just, you know, keep them a little close. You know, I'm that guy with the fishing line, and, you know, not close enough, you're almost, you know, like just let them creep in there, but, you know, knowing that I've got a little more gas left in the tank. And so, yeah, it's great to see, especially that team and Bubba, like they're really good right now. I mean, really, really good, and on the edge of winning races. So it's great to see, you know. My perfect scenario is me winning and my team cars to finish second, third, fourth. That'd be the perfect scenario, and it's nearly impossible to have. But when you're able to execute a day where we can win and they can be in the top five and contending for a win, that's just like I scripted it up.
All right, we'll go to Davey and then Kelly.
Davey Siegel with SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. One of the first things you said over the radio after you won was attaboy Chris Gayle. And he spoke at length about, you know, you guys embracing him because he was the only new person on the 11 team and all those things that come with it. What have you thought about him as a leader now? And, you know, just what do you think that he is capable of as a crew chief working with somebody like yourself for the rest of this year and beyond?
Well, I mean, Chris has had a tough go at it. I when we didn't have a great weekend, like, social media people are just out to get him, and they think that, you know, that he's been the problem for all these years, and it's just not the case. You know, so I'm really happy for him because I think, you know, he's had the tough task of having such young drivers his whole career, and that is really hard to do. It's hard to put in what you know is the fastest thing and then expecting a rookie to go out there or someone that's really young to get the most out of that, and then having the race craft to manage it through the whole race. It's really, really hard to do. And so I think, you know, him having someone probably as laid back as I am for the first time in his career is probably making his job a lot a lot easier. And he mentioned it to me last week. He was like, you know, this has been the easiest, you know, you're the by far the easiest driver I've had to deal with. So, and I try to do that for him because I'd say, you know, I'm never going to second guess your setup, your strategy, or anything. All I'm going to do is focus on giving you the best behind the wheel and giving you the best information so you can then go make the right decisions. And whatever you decide, I'm going to have your back 100%. And that's what you have to do if when you have a new crew chief coming in there is you got to believe in him and you got to let him be the leader that he is.
All right, Kelly.
KellyCrandallRacer.com. First off, Denny, what was the feeling Gabe Hart had today when he leaned in the car pre-race and the video was posted on Instagram? You called him a liar. I guess he wasn't.
Yeah. Well, he says, I don't know, he's been, I don't know what his win percentage is, but he says, you know, when I get these feelings that we're going to be in victory lane, I've got that feeling today. And I said, oh, geez, here we go again. I said, I've heard this before. I said, I don't know what your win percentage is, but I think it's pretty low on your feeling. Now, there, in the 2019-20 time, whenever he would say, I got that feeling, I pretty much knew that he had a bullet of a race car that he built, and we were probably going to win that race that weekend as long as I didn't screw it up. But in the next-gen era, it's really hard to get that gap. And so I don't know what he saw yesterday, but I, when we finished our debrief after practice, I said, I think we're going to race pretty good tomorrow. And he's like, yeah, I think so too. And we did not have the best car. We just didn't. But I just had some sort of feeling that, you know, the direction we were going is the right way. And so he gave me the old, you know, rah-rah, I feel good about it today. And then I saw Jared there videotaping, and I said, you know, that he's a liar because we never win, and now when he has those feelings, but we did today.
The second thing I wanted to ask was, when this win sets in more over the, you know, tonight or tomorrow, the coming days, will it feel better because it's finally break through again at Martinsville?
Yes.
Or because the long wait from Dover last year, which you mentioned a couple weeks ago, had felt like it's been an eternity since that win?
It's Martinsville for me because it's so, I'm telling you, I scratch my head and I study this racetrack more now than I ever have in my career. It was way easier to win, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, when it was me, Jimmy, and Jeff. I knew it was going to be the three of us. Our cars were good. We had the feeling. We just were better than everyone else, and it was easy. I didn't have to put in all the work that I do now. But it just was aggravating to be the next best at this track for the last 5 years. Like, just never having it. The it is like the ability to control a race, run as fast as you need to lead the race, and pull away when you want. And today we had it. And so that's what feels good, is knowing that now we've got something that, like, I'm not going to have to chase my tail in the fall trying to download and figure out, okay, why am I running third again? Like, I need to win this race. And so, you know, sure, when you run in the top five, you'll have some wins fall your way, but I want to dominate. I don't want to, I'll take any win I can get, but I want to have days like this where I'm in complete control. And so it's going to feel good coming here in the fall and knowing that, like, okay, we don't have to chase our tail. We know what we need to build a race winning car.
All right, Stephen, go ahead.
Stephen StumpFrenchel.com. Speaking of dominating, you led 274 of the final 275 laps. In between your checkered flag in 2015 to the one here, you led 1,410 laps here. You know, does dominating, you know, just make it that much sweeter? And just how frustrating was that, you know, dry spell here, looking back on it now that you've ended it?
Yeah, I mean, I somewhat answered it with my last question, but I felt all wins are created equal on the stat sheet. Not all wins are created equal in your mentality. You know, when you have a dominating win, it's like, oh yeah, I did everything right. The team did everything right. The pit crew executed perfectly. Like, when we're on, it can be deadly. And so, you know, if you go and if you win because the first two took each other out and, like, you're third place, you won. And on the stat, it counts all the same. But I'm telling you, mentally, it doesn't give you that sense of that gratifying win that wins like this do for me.
All right, we're going to go upstairs. Is there a question upstairs?
Danny, we've seen you get hot after a win, and we're going to Darlington and Bristol over the next couple weeks. So I'm just curious if this win today, as dominating as it was, gives you the pace to do what you did over the next couple weeks.
I hope so. I mean, this is, you know, truthfully, the schedule's really nice to me over the last month, and then kind of the next month. Yeah, there's some good stuff, good tracks for us. I mean, all of them can be good tracks, but, you know, tracks that I've won a lot at, got great feels for what I need at that track. And then, you know, yeah, I hope this is a start of things to come, and, you know, we can build upon it. You know, it'd be great, but, you know, we got about 24 hours to celebrate this, and then on to Cincinnati, as they would say.
And in the era where sponsorship, is everything, a couple races were progressive and you got them their first win and they went bonkers, according to Coach Gibb. How important is that for the number 11 team to win so early with them?
Well, I know it's a big thing for them. You know, a lot of the reason they're on my car is, you know, obviously some things with social media, with myself and the team, and they know they're going to be up front. That's why they put their name on the car, is that, you know, by the numbers, the 11 car gets seen a lot, and it's because it's up front. And so we're achieving their objectives right now.
Denny Samuel Stubbs, Field Level Media. A lot's been made about all the changes that you've been through this offseason, with the crew chief change, FedEx leaves, now you bring in a new sponsor, Progressive, and you have the outside noise of the lawsuit. And also, a lot's been made, all the talk this weekend was, you know, it's been a decade since he's won at Martinsville, and you mentioned when you walked in here, it felt like the old days. Every Cup win is special. You mentioned how special Martinsville is to you, but how good is it to come here, dominate a race, and know that even amidst all that, you know, running well here, now winning here, is still a constant, no matter, I guess now we can say no matter the area of your career, because now you've won here with the next-gen car and broken that 10-year drought here.
Well, I'm just going to have you attach my hip for the rest of the week, because you said it perfectly. And you said exactly how I feel. The feeling is fantastic. Life is good right now. I mean, I really have no complaints. Things are going well. 2311 is putting themselves in the upper echelon of the big three, or whoever you want to say, that have dominated the sport for decades. They're running with them and beating some of them week in, week out. So things are good. You know, the five-year plan's working over there. I still have it over here. Couldn't ask for much more. Got a kid coming in 2 months, so all's well.
All right. We have a lot of hands up, and a lot of people are asking questions. One question, quickly, so we can get through to them, because I know Denny doesn't want to sit here all night. So we're going to go Claire. Well, I just know, I mean, you do celebrate your wins most of the time. Yeah. So, all right, we're going to come up to Lee. Then we'll go to Jacob and then Claire. Go ahead, Lee.
Lee Spencer, Series 6 NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. I apologize if this has already been asked, but what can you say about Bubba's progress to get two podium finishes back to back? And he probably should have had four top tens by now.
Yeah, I mean, they're running like the 45 during the summer. So, you know, I told you guys that new crew chief was going to be a game changer over there. He's getting the most out of Bubba, and I want to give Bubba his due too. Like, it's not all the crew chief, but, you know, Bubba has really stepped up and been a leader with the team. He's got a lot of confidence right now, which goes a long, long way. So I think he doesn't need to change anything. Just keep doing what he's doing. He's taken a big step from one season to the next, and now it's like wins are going to fall right in his lap the way he's running right now.
All right. Jacob, go ahead.
Jacob Seelman, Race Face Digital. Denny, I thought today was going to be the day that we had all four Gibbs cars in the top 10. Ty put together a really good run, just didn't pan out because of a spin late. You've been the veteran at JGR and kind of, I'm sure, have seen him through this this tough start to the season. Have you given him any advice or what, you know, have you seen out of him that, you know, may make you think Coach was in here and said that he thinks Ty's day is coming soon? What have you seen from him lately that might agree with that?
Well, I mean, truthfully, I don't see a whole lot of him outside a racetrack. But, you know, he asked today, what should he do? How does he turn this thing around? And, you know, my advice was just, you're not going to get it all back in 1 week. You know, that is what I see most young guys try to do is, if they make a mistake, they end up compounding it with multiple mistakes over and over and over, and they just can't get out of making mistakes. And it's like, at some point, you got to just, how can I get through the day with a green race? That's not, you know, he got spun today, but it's like, how can I just get through with a decent finish? I don't even want a good finish. You got to get a decent finish. Build on that. You know, I said people are going to run into you today, and you can't let that stuff get to you. I'm going to get run into, but it's just you have to be able to be mentally strong enough to, you know, let that stuff go. And certainly, it's really easy to hit the panic button and say, you know, man, things are going as bad as they ever have. Can't get through a race without problems. Everybody's out to get me. But it's just, you got to just have a quiet week and build on that. And then after that, let's have a quiet week and finish five spots better. Like, you're just not going to get it all back in 1 week. So don't chase that. Don't chase three wide middle if you don't have to on lap 25. Like, these races are really, really long. 30% of your competition will take themselves out every single week. If you have a 12th place car, you will finish eighth, as long as you don't screw up, because others in front of you will. So just keep that in mind, and I think that if he can continue to have that type of mentality and not panic, it will eventually turn.
Go ahead, Claire.
Claire B. Lang. This might be a mere mortal kind of question, but, you know, we always thought of you as so dang good here. And then you started telling us your information was shared amongst Joe Gibbs Racing, the stuff you knew about this track. Then the car changed, and it was like, well, the car's different, so my secrets no longer work. For those of us who don't get to see the data, right, I envision the headline being Denny is still good here. And there's so much talk about rhythm. Every driver yesterday talking about rhythm here. Is it the possibility that you are still just going to be able to be good at a track despite the new car, despite the secrets that you had? And, you know, it's kind of hard to explain unless you're a driver, but maybe you could help.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. You know, I've been able to win in many different types of cars and many different types of tires and aero changes and all that stuff. But, you know, one thing is constant. With this small of a racetrack, the approach that you make to be fast here is still the same. So my dad always used to tell me when we used to race different kinds of cars, he's like, it's just a different machine. Figure out how to make that machine go fast. And I know how to make speed at this track. It's just, what do I need to get this next-gen car to work and operate like I need it to make the lap time? So it's taken a little bit longer. Yes, advantages that you know, whoever finished in the top five is going to be studying our information from now to October, and they're going to be better because of it. So I have to figure out how to get that little bit more of an edge over the field. And so was my car perfect today? No. There's definitely things that we can do to make better, and I enjoy that process of continuing to get better even on weekends we win.
All right, we're going to go upstairs for a question in the press box.
Matt Weaver, Sports 9. We saw your tweets yesterday, so we have a general idea of how you feel about the Xfinity Series race, but I'm curious, now that you've had a day to digest on that, is this a blip, a one-off, a weird thing that happened on Saturday, or is there something that we, the collective we, need to do to address this so it doesn't happen again?
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit tomorrow, but it's... yeah, certainly I think that the sanctioning body needs to get involved a little bit and you know, step in on egregious things. I think it's continued to ramp up, right? It's, you know, we've seen this stuff, and it used to only happen on green-white checkers. And then this place, it seemed like inside 20 to go, people would lose their minds. And then those guys yesterday did it with 50 to go, just absolutely just creaming each other. And so it just was... horrible driving by most of the people out there, and you know, it's just not a good look. And certainly you shouldn't be able to just wipe someone out egregiously like what happened at the end of the race yesterday. That, you know, certainly we have a black flag for a reason, and I think we should start using it.
All right, we're going to end up front. Thank you.
David Meadows, Stall News. Denny, how does it feel to win here at your hometown, one of your hometown tracks for one, and how hard is it to get your mindset from a local beating the bang short track to the Lady in Black in Dalton next week, carrying the momentum from winning this week, hopefully into getting back into victory lane at Dalton next week?
Yeah, I mean, my focus for Darlington won't start till really kind of Tuesday. You know, even tonight and tomorrow will be consumed about, in my mind, of like how I could be better. Here, I have some ideas to download with the team on how I can get a little bit better. And so the momentum is there, right? Surely when you win, there is momentum. But NASCAR racing does not care about momentum. You can be first one week and last the next week. And that's, you know, that's kind of the beauty of it, is those that, you know, the 35 guys that lost today, you know, believe that 7 days from now they're going to win. And so... it's the great thing about our sport that it's got ebbs and flows like that, but certainly we feel like we're doing a lot of right things and certainly can contend no matter what the racetrack, especially a track like Darlington.
All right, Denny. Congratulations again on the win, and best of luck next weekend in Darlington.